Widows Fathomless, the tabletop podcast set in the world of Fialor. I'm your Dungeon Master, Darby, and joining me as always are Mitch playing Neris, Jake playing the Fishman, Joe playing Alton, Laura playing Janice, Zoe playing the Wren, and Eddie on standby should character make an appearance at some point. Let's jump into it. Where we last left off, party, a whole bunch of research in various ways, created with Exley and Conrad, locales within the sewers of interest. And Alton has a nagging feeling that the location within the Underdark that they're going to has some sort of connection, but he can't figure out what it is. Fishman put his perception into a bird. After meeting back up and comparing notes, the party made their way to the Divine Spirit, a rather crass tavern that is conveniently nearby to the most appropriate sewer entry point purposes. So you make your way into the tavern, which I believe Loren was a bit familiar with. And as you enter, you start to realize that the name itself isn't the only kind of crass, tacky thing about this place. The staff appear to be dressed in green, baggy, as if to create the illusion of flowing, ghostly like apparel, with a green tint to most of their. To their makeup, gaudy, just tacky art on the walls of like ghosts and spirits and forests. And you are greeted moments after your entrance by a young, can't be more than like 17 years old, human girl. With a notepad and quill, as well as a tablecloth draped over the arm, a green pale green tablecloth, and she says, "Hi, welcome to the note. Welcome to the Divine Spirit. Can I help you today?"
"Hey there, Siobhan. How's your sister doing?"
"Oh, she's good, Loren. Can I help the five of you to a table today?"
"Absolutely. Also, could you book us in some rooms?"
"Of course. Would you like the baseline rooms, or would you like the call at the moment? We just changed the name.
Oh, tell
Sorry,
me the
due
new
to
name."
what was it? It's the
"Girly, come on."
Lensheath Suites.
"And she's sweet." And she kind of pats Siobhan on the cheek. "You went to all the effort of remembering it, so we'll definitely go for those, won't we, Neris?" And she just winks at him.
As soon as Siobhan said the word "or" when talking about the sweets, like, we're absolutely going for the more expensive options, and I don't have a say in that.
Right. Yeah, they were called the Divine Rooms until City Council got on to the managers about it as false advertising.
Look, you know how I feel about city council, Siobhan, so I really wish you could have kept it, but no wonders. No matters. Is my favorite barman still on?
Oh, no. Aaron actually quit about a week ago.
Aaron quit? My God.
He said something about sick of the manager's shit.
That makes
didn't
sense.
Get paid enough to deal with the nonsense, and yeah.
Well, apologize for me parting the nonsense. Well, we'll take the table if you could get our room sorted for me, love. And I'll be seeing you later, won't I?
Of course, I will get that sorted for you as quickly as I can. Shows you through to a table for five and heads to the bar to deal with the rooms. And the like.
Sweet kid.
It's the kind of place you frequent, Loren.
Oh, the sort of place I frequent, yes. Ex-captain frequented many other establishments, but this one was more me and the other crew's sort of shindig. And Siobhan's a good kid, so.
It's a fun vibe, as they say. I really like it.
I know! There's just something about dinner with a theme that just feels really nice.
Atmosphere, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. You know, sometimes they put on little shows too. They get like bards in and they put, what's it called? The ghost boosters. It's great. They interact with you. They steal food from you. It's wonderful.
I'll just have to imagine it then. Mm. Do they sell any of their costumes or anything? I can imagine the whole Red Phoenix all decked out.
Fortunately, they don't make any half-orc sized, and Angel was really the only one interested. I think if you stack the three S's on top of each other, they could have fit in one.
So there's no costumes, but there is a tacky little gift.
Oh, there's a gift bar.
Oh,
yes.
Yes, Dabby, thank you for this.
As everyone is ferrying through to the table, Lorenda's kind of hang back until it's just her and Maris. Kind of leans to him and just goes, to know. I want it to be of note. I've been very, very good today. I've been very nice. I'm very kind. I pay this as the one allowance I'm making myself. Did you really forget how long you were in the library for?
Would you believe any answers that I give you?
True one, yes.
Is unfortunately not a yes or a no answer.
You give me a yes or no answer, so I guess we're just matching each other's energy right now. All right, go enjoy the room that Eldrin's paying for, I guess. What?
Paying for these rooms? Not... Why would...
He's your benefactor, isn't he?
And Frobray is assisting with certain constructions and the gathering of information, yes.
Yeah, that's what...
I'm going to go get some drinks.
As you say that, a half-orc in a ghostly costume approaches the table and says... Hi, I hope you're having a truly ethereal time here tonight. I get you any drinks.
What do you recommend?
I've got to know the names of these ones.
Specialties are the Haunting Ale, Spirit of Vodka, and the Absinthe Exorcism.
The Purge Spirit Vodka sounds pretty accurate to some of my experiences in the past.
Do you have samples?
We are not in the habit of giving away samples, no.
A tasting platter, perhaps, then. I'll have all of them.
One of each for the reptilian fellow.
All of them? Have you had absinthe before? I wouldn't recommend fish man.
It's It's a long story, but recently I've had different types of alcohol and I've been having different kinds of waking experiences. So I'm hoping to have as many types of alcohol as I can, perhaps to achieve different results. Think of it like...
Your chemistry of slowly ruining your liver?
Legally obligated to make mention of any... at any mention of self-medication through alcohol, it is deeply discouraged by the divine spirit as per the legal substrates of Ankathair.
Yeah, the man agrees. But for myself, and my friend here, maybe on top of that, do you have any fun names for the water?
Water.
Yeah. Have to work on that one, I think, but yes. Two of those, please.
Other drinks?
Nice bourbon.
Bourbon.
So I'll have that then.
Okay.
Have attempts to sort of fit himself into one of the chairs around this booth, but then sort of stretches out, his arms folded across his chest.
Right before this poor half-orc wanders off, Loran is gonna just come over and just be like, "Evening, York, good to see you. You know what I'll be having."
Of course.
I guess as Fishman sits back down, a man of few words, I guess.
And here the longest at this point, he's just sort of bored.
Understandable. No, I think there would probably be a medical element in me working in these kind of industries for many years. Gets to you.
It's not too long before drinks are brought to the table. And are people ready to order food? Or would you like some time to think?
Fishman stands up again with a massive smile on his face. What would you recommend?
Different dining experience.
I like this one, actually. I've changed my mind.
Respect the honesty.
This is why you're my favorite. I'm tipping you 100% tonight.
Hey, Loran, they don't pay me to be, pay me to do my work. They don't pay me an incredible amount, so I'm gonna be honest. If you must insist on eating here, Auric has the least chance of giving you food poisoning. The chances of food poisoning are low with anything, but they're not zero.
Don't know how to react to this guy.
Well, that's good to know. Not one of those, then.
Fish of the day.
You like to live dangerously, sir.
You could certainly say that. Give me two of them, then.
Funeral. What else could people get?
The chips for the table. Oh, I've missed you, York.
Anything I would else? Like the salad, please.
Riskier than the fish.
No Should longer wants the salad. You mentioned previously. I will have that.
Make that too.
Okay. So, three auric steaks, the fish, two fish of the day.
Yes.
For the table. You having a main, Loran?
You may. I'll just pick and eat.
Okay. Those will be up worryingly fast.
Can't wait.
And he disappears off again towards the kitchen.
Oh, see why you come here often.
I've missed him so dearly. Oh, gods. Give me one heart.
Certainly.
Anything comes out too raw, I probably can make a little... Give them a tools to make a little fire or something. Cook them a little bit more.
Preferable. I must say I'm interested in seeing the quality of the rooms then, if this is the recommended service.
What I remember, the rooms are all right. It's been a minute. But as I said, they've recently changed the name, so maybe the decor's changed. Ooh, we're going to have a great time playing Light as a Feather tonight.
Wow, indeed.
Maybe they just finally cleaned them and changed the name.
Oh, no.
premium.
Paint over the old dirt, and that's exactly how I want it.
I'm sure you're very glad you decided to share this whole room, Nerys.
Such a great experience. Although, thankfully, if the accommodation is at the same quality as the service and potentially the hygiene, should not have to pay very much.
It's at this point that the fish comes out, and Janice, you have two plates of fish placed in front of you.
Oh boy.
It seems to be thoroughly cooked, and in fact possibly a little burnt in places. It's not as warm as you would expect it to be fresh out of the kitchen.
He's inspecting this by having lifted up one of the fish by the tail, the crispy tail, and has been sniffing it. And then he kind of like slyly just looks towards the rest of the group. They tilt his head that much. And throws the fish up and just like... Because he eats like fish, like bones and all. It's not a very pleasant sight.
It's fine. It's a little cooled down, as if it was... Prepared preemptively and left in a much like fast food, left in the heaters for a little while.
A bit of loud crunching, which is a little bit too loud for fish bones. but he kind of like wakes that down, just shudders a bit, and then continues eating, and then just kind of like puts one arm on the table, and then is just focused on eating. Slip down to there. He is quieter now.
So, do you feel okay?
Yes, no food poisoning kicked in yet, but considering we're going to the sewers tomorrow, I suppose it's not really going to make a much of a difference, will it? I'll say that sentence again while I breathe. But considering the way we're meant to be going tomorrow, I suppose it won't make much of a difference if I have food poisoning or not, considering, so should be fine.
Excellent.
Are you looking at leaving immediately, Nerys? Is that why we're booking a place?
To leave early in the morning. Particularly early, and Nerys will just flick a quick, almost imperceptible glance over to Fishman. Early as we allow.
Fishman looked as if he was waiting for some kind of look, and discreetly nods.
Right, fine.
At this point, the chips are brought out. Back to you, Janice.
Delicious! And Loren starts just like a child, just like one elbow on the table, chin in her hand, just eating.
Most of them are fine. Some are a little firmer than you would generally like. But yeah, they're mostly fine.
Just like home, feel free to partake, everyone, as we discuss the fact that we're going down into a little poop shoot tomorrow morning. Bright and early.
At least disposal is a good enough term. More accurate.
I've got no comment to make on this.
I understand it's irrelevant, but can we not talk about shit whilst we eat?
Nerys has, just while like the rest of the food is coming out, just been absent-mindedly trying to construct a letter. So he's like writing out draft copies in a just one of his notepads. After a little bit, he'll write out like a final version, which looks very similar to just like a professional email. And then he will fold it up. Going to just sort of stand up away from the table, cast a spell that Eldrin taught him, is called a speedy courier. Going to cast that, place this letter that he's written and folded into a little box that this spectral individual is holding, that kind of blends in with the other patrons, almost, or the staff. Aris will whisper a couple of instructions, and the figure and the box will disappear. Nerys will sit back down.
It's probably at about this point that the orc stakes get brought out. The stakes themselves are absolutely drenched in a dark, viscous brown gravy.
Oh boy. If anyone says that this cooking is better than the stuff that I cook, I will actually kill you. They don't know any of the fundamentals.
And as you dig into it, you notice that these steaks are incredibly well done.
You did say least likely to get food poisoning.
Very true. Any bacteria is burnt as well as most of the meat.
Alton, you suspect, with your culinary knowledge, you suspect that the sheer amount of gravy is probably to mask how burnt and overdone this steak is.
Gravy cannot hide your sins.
Well, at least it's good for your teeth.
True, that's true. Thomas can get through it. So does sharp teeth.
He grins back.
But dives in and tries to steal a little bit of crumb of the fish. Has a little chomp away at that as well.
Okay. Anything else that folks are discussing over dinner?
Dennis is pretty quiet comparatively. He's very into like the silly of the whole place, but he's very like quiet otherwise. He's looking out, like, I assume one of the windows. Are we close to the sea or is it fairly inland in Agathir at this point? I know Agathir is a seaside city, but yeah. Like,
you're probably about half, like at this point of the city, probably about half a kilometer inland.
Fair enough. A
kilometer off the coast.
It's just almost like he's just watching the very distant peak of the waves as the sun sets. That's all he does.
Feeling in control of a situation for the first time in a long time, so she's just kind of chatting and being silly, unless someone else does, she's not really going to talk about anything meaningful because she doesn't want to think about tomorrow.
I think Alton's very much in the same boat. He does not want to think about tomorrow either.
Fishman will probably ask Alton just very quickly, so about rats?
Yes. Good point.
Have you decided? Because it seems like you're going in sooner than I thought.
Yeah, no, that is very soon. Actually, would you be able to talk to Rat? Do you still have the magic to do that?
Of course, but also I can talk to rats without magic. We've learned a way to communicate basic words and meanings, emotions.
True, he's very smart. I'm glad he got along with you well.
Yeah, well, what would you like me to ask if they'd like to come?
Yes, if he'd like to come, and if there is any sign of danger, he will run and hide and not try to get involved. Never know otherwise, quite what he's going to do. He's not to be in any danger.
Otherwise, I'm sure there's someone we can contact between now and tomorrow before we leave that could look after him. But yes, just give me a second. And Fishman will kneel down to Rat's level and do a number of custom, very emotive arm signs, basically gesturing, come with tomorrow, danger, question, with us, under dark.
Fox's head. And then runs around excitedly in a circle and runs over to Alton.
Seems to be happy. I could probably go a little step further and make sure, but I'm pretty certain from that.
He does seem to want to come along.
I hope I haven't given them a hero dynamic with that cape.
It's true, I worry, you know. He's always going and trying to bite people. I'm worried that if we actually ever get into any combat, he's going to try to bite someone. Get trodden on.
We'll make sure that doesn't happen.
Rat just like, I don't know, like goes under the cape, like buries under his cape. Where like, no, I will hide. Well, Rat, I guess we'll see what happens. I mean, I don't think we're going to, it's not like we're going down deep into the, like the sealed off tunnels or anything. We're just going to a city, I suppose.
We'll have to see. I'm hoping that's what we do, but I also understand that the Underdark can be quite a dangerous place. Unpredictable.
Yes, well, it's like any place, but it's very different to up here.
Can't say I've ever been. This would be a first for me.
We've got a lot to learn. It's pretty much its own world down there. And to think that it's all just, I don't know, the same gloomy old dark caves or anything, but it's extremely diverse.
Do they have their own language? Is it a different culture?
Many languages down there, and many different cultures. I only really went to the one, I suppose, country. It's not exactly the same. I didn't explore it very much.
Well, I look forward to seeing it alongside you.
For sure.
I'm excited. It'll be like a field trip almost. Just a very dangerous, incredibly perilous field trip.
Yes, yes, definitely. Be interesting to see how much it's changed. Or what it's like down there.
Anyways, I'm probably going to kick the bucket soon. Not... Oh, shit.
I'm not doing what? Time to die.
Moment.
Probably going to hit the hay.
At that moment, you notice that there is a bucket that has been left out of place by
someone
on the staff that is knocked over as the speedy courier reappears and the chest back to Naris, and the letter contained within is in your messages.
Neris is completely unfazed by the reappearance of this courier. Stand up, take the letter, and bid farewell to the spectral courier. Sit back down, give it a little bit of a read. Just give it a nod and put it into his pocket.
And I take it Fishman then goes to hit the hay.
Dies. Yes. Do you ever go into autopilot? Just not understand what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, good to go.
Is there anything else that folks do before retiring for the evening?
Janice has been quite quiet, and then he's just sort of been like a bit more fidgety as time has worn on. And I think sort of like as the evening's going on, the conversation is not very thrilling. It's a little bit sparse this evening. Tension and a lot of like just, yeah, from the delicious fruit, of course. Janice kind of stands up and sort of shrugs off and is like, well, I'm going to go dump my things in my room and I'm going to go for a walk. I'll be back later and I'll see you all in the morning, but not too early or whatever. He just stares at Naris. He just moves his eye. He just looks over at Naris for a moment when he says that and then just like nods at Loren and Alton and then at Rat. And then he will stride off, check in his things, and then a couple, like probably about 5 minutes later, you see him striding back without his armor on, just with his like regular sort of like the little black turtleneck type thing, like his pants and stuff like that. And then so if he catches anyone looking at him at that point, he'll just nod, and then there'll be sort of like a quick shifting of like his form as he will just shift into some other person and leave the tavern, which is Mask of Many Faces. And yeah, and all Janice is going to do is he's going to go and walk down to the pier, and then he's going to just sort of sit there with his feet in the pier for a while, looking up at the moon. Sort of just like he's sitting there for a long time, so sort of like listening in, like hearing as like the wind ebbs and flows and just breathes in that air, and he speaks a bit in the tongue of his benefactor, his deep sea patron, and speaks to Shognesh for a while, just words of questioning and direction and frustration at waiting and restlessness, and then he just slips from his feet into the rest of the water, and if anyone on the pier were watching, up like just a nondescript man just slides into the water and just disappears as a shark swims away to go and have a swim around and snap or whatever. doesn't swim anywhere in particular. He is hanging around the island, but he is just needs to do that right now. Jonas does.
All right.
I guess in a similar way, Loren just kind of talks shit, but then when other people kind of start having more serious conversations, and especially when Janis leaves, she kind of deflates a little. Just watches for a bit. And then just kind of unceremoniously, like, well, I've had enough undercooked potato for one night. You all in the morning. Try not to get too inebriated. Your spirits go straight to your head. Kind of jokingly to Alton, who she knows also doesn't drink, but she's kind of looking sideways at Maris a little bit. And Fishman, and he kind of wanders off and looks curiously at a bucket that has fallen over. And then she will also go check into her room. And one little thing she does is she kind of looks out the window for a bit and looks around this little room with all its ghost themes and all the weird little knickknacks that make it worth the extra, I don't know, 3 copper that it is. Size is she wears like a collar that has chains connected to it at the back that connect to her arms. She takes kind of the collar part off and lets it hang and pulls water from the air with shape water and forms a little ring around her neck. And her gills just sort of as they breathe in that water. But to no one, she says, a lot drier out here. I'll stop missing her one day, won't I? I think she's on the wrong side. I'll go to bed.
Nice. I think after Loren leaves, Alton will kind of like raise up his glass of water to her and then look over to Neris and be like, well, I guess there's the cue to go. Do appreciate having the comfortable bed, much nicer than my usual lodgings. He kind of like stands up to go and then it's like, by the way, lots been happening lately. And I hope you're doing okay after that whole stuff in the Sphinx Cave.
I am doing perfectly fine, thank you. I am focusing on... we have direction. And that is important. We need to make sure that we continue finding this direction, because that is what is important. It is not worthwhile looking back.
No, it's very good to find have things to keep you going. Now, I have heard from some of the old gang members that getting revived isn't always that fun. There's a bit of a aftertaste to you, so look after yourself.
I have every intention of not doing that again.
No, I think we're all going to try to stop that from happening again. But see you in the morning.
Yes, indeed. I shall see you then.
I'll head back to his room and enjoy the comfy bed, but he definitely does spend a while getting to sleep. His body is just very wired, and he very much does not want to think about where he's going tomorrow, so I really do task to distract himself, to make jury and such, for eventually getting to sleep.
Neris.
Chris ponders that exchange and will sort of smile after Alton as they leave, and then the smile fades and he is forced to think back instead of forward, and he relives little he can remember from that cave. Then he sees, almost as from an outside perspective, he sees himself fall, and he sees his shadow fall with him, and it falls deeper into the ground. And then it grows, that shadow, silhouette of Neris. It grows and it joins other silhouettes. They're also growing in Neris's periphery. And as they start to form faces and shapes, two taller than the other, third shorter one, snapped back again. And he's sitting at a table, an uneaten steak in front of him, completely full, a glass of water in front of him as well, and is shaking. Picks himself up, looks at all the other patrons in the tavern, straightens out his cloak, stands, and goes to his room. And he begins to rummage through his spell book and looking again on the future and leaving the past where it belongs. He begins to focus on a new spell that he's developed. He's done a little bit of work in the past, during thoughts and minds of other people, as well as his own. Only recently begun to tap into the ability to enter people's dreams. What he wants to attempt to do tonight, as he sits down and he prepares his divining orb in front of him, he focuses and attempts to enter the dream of a professor that he encountered many years ago, Professor Sevia Rudrin. Reaches out and he tries to feel a connection.
For a while. As the letter you received suggested may be the case. But eventually, you find yourself joined in this kind of mental space by. Well, sorry, would you like to describe Sevia Rudrin? 100 years on from, 120-ish years on from our Journey Home campaign.
Certainly I would. So, Sevia looks exactly as Neris remembers meeting her maybe 15 years ago. Detail. She looks the exact same age, which appears to be in about her mid-30s or 40s. She wears her coily, tight, natural hair, pulled back slightly at the front with a few wisps hanging down, an ornate silver headband with pearls along it, holding back the big puffball that is her afro. She has different glasses now, more of the half-moon spectacles than the big circular lenses of her youth. There's an ornate royal blue set of robes, long at the sleeves, all trimmed in golds and silvers, with a sort of cape hanging at the back with a big gold tassel that hangs in the center. And you know, Neris, as you sat in on some of her classes, that all of these silver and gold images, lines, runes are the different planes, as she is this plane's, Fierlor's version of Mordenkainen. All of them represent the different planes that she has traveled to, and you also know that in the center of her cape, right between her back, sits the symbology of Fierlor, our plane, on her shoulders. And she stands before you, she turns, there is one hand, her hand, I believe, which you have known the entire time that you have known her and is visible in all of the books and she has made where there is an author's photo. One hand is wrinkled, the veins black,
her ring finger permanently bent. Something happened to it many years ago that she does not speak about. But her hand is permanently not great. And she turns to look at you. Neris! Oh, Solalanti, it has been too long! And she walks over and reaches up and puts both her hands on your cheeks. Oh, you have grown so tall! Oh, just like Eowyn, you look just like... Well, you look more like your sister, of course, but oh, what a handsome man you have become.
Professor, thank you for meeting with me at such short notice.
Of course. I've very much enjoyed receiving your letters. I was wondering when you would request an in-person meeting. This is not quite what I was expecting, but I'm glad to see it.
No, I of course find your topics of planar travel and the dangers therein fascinating. However, I... Unfortunately, as I mentioned in my letter, come on much more serious and pressing matters.
Yes, you mentioned Conrad and Exley. Ever is the matter with that? They have been dormant for many years.
That is unfortunately the issue. I do not believe they have. It, of course, has left this plane.
Yes.
However, his companion... There have been sightings.
Please. Line unseeable. He's not findable via magic means, at least not any available to me, and I have all of them available to me. Mundane people have been seeing you.
Each time more frequently than the last. I feel he is straying down a path that will lead to the opening of a rift between this plane and the divine.
Oh! And she kind of pushes her glasses up. Well, that certainly does sound like Exley. Why do you imagine? To get Conrad back, he must know that there is no real hope of that. He is sealed.
Nonetheless, he is trying. And that rift would unleash devastation on the material plane.
It would. So there have been sightings of Exley. Near rifts. Around rifts. Did you see him around one such rift?
I have not seen him around a rift per se. He has, as I mentioned, been busy. We have had interactions with him, notably a few days ago.
You have spoken with him?
We have not spoken. He has I don't know how or what his motives were, but he was traveling with a group of undead creatures that he unleashed on a tavern, which tavern? We were in.
What? Clearly, you're all right. Is everyone else in the tavern? Oh, that look on your face says otherwise.
It's fortunate that adventurers of skill were there to prevent further losses. However, casualties were sustained.
And he has done in many a year. So why speak to me?
Know him. You know both of them. Why would they be doing this?
A good question. Nexley's motives are always hard to discern. He is deceptively simple, and yet he thinks so incredibly much. He feels often as if he is one step ahead of you simply because he's not walking upon the same path. In fact, he is often traveling through trees. He lends himself to nature. That's why he is so good at... He used to call them friends, which is he would call up. And she does have a fond smile when she says this, an out-of-place fondness. If he can be many places at once, simply because he can get there faster than you can. I don't know what he thinks his motivation is, but certainly, if I were to have a guess, I would say his motive has been the same for over 100 years. He simply wishes very much for Conrad to get what he wants, one beside him when he gets it. Conrad had a special bond of a sort. They understood each other in a way that I don't think any of us could. My partner and I tried our best, but when we all returned, told that Conrad was unreachable. Exley did not get the memo. I believe he needed to be one of the most powerful creatures on Fielo.
They gained this knowledge, this power. How did that come to pass?
I'm gods. Well, a god in his general. That is Conrad's story to tell. There were rumors, talks of divinity, lichdom, many, many stories and rumors that swell up. You know how it is. 100 years is a long time to have a history if you're only meant to live for 80 of them. To make history. But he's a smart man. You remind me a lot of him. Curious, intelligent. If I may be so joking. And she kind of pats his cheek a little. Had in his mind what he wanted, he went for it. And in the time I knew him, what he wanted, choose his own path. Set upon many adventures we could not decide upon, he wanted to choose. That transcended even the loss of his memory. Fascinating. Conrad continues to make and break history. I remember as a young boy who was so determined not to get his luggage dirty. Fond of a bath.
Clearly mature.
There was a kindness to him then. I'm not sure how much of that remains. Hope, some of it. And if you are encountering Exley in any meaningful capacity, you should hope there is kindness left as well. Saw Conrad kill a woman with nothing but spiders was when he was the good guy. Assume from the fact that you're asking me these questions that you are planning on doing something about Exley and Conrad.
Need to be stopped. The rift is opened. I do not believe it could be closed before complete calamity happens.
You are young. Your job to do this.
I believe no one else did, and I failed because of it. I do not wish to fail again.
Not how you spoke in your riddles. To deal with the past and the present, rarely find the time to live in the future. No, wait. Cut that. Those who live in the past and the future often rarely take time to take stock of the present. You are with a group, I assume?
I am.
Good. Planning on speaking to Exley. I've not spoken to him for many a year, but admit it, but there is humanity within him as well. And he is grieved, he is loved. He has found joy. He is logical. Appeal to his logic. You might be able to at least work out what he's doing. Although I doubt, wary. He does have a book of vile darkness.
Does Neris know what that book is?
Roll me an Arcana check.
The dirty 20.
The dirty 20. You have heard vague rumors of a tome known as the Book of Vile Darkness that is purported to have the darkest magic ever committed to a tome. Something that all but the most twisted and thoroughly repugnant would find shingly repulsive. In greater detail, you know not, but it is certainly a dark artifact of sorts.
Neris straightens and almost involuntarily recoils. And then is seemingly thinking about several different things at once, each almost scarier than the last. Hobson. Thank you for sharing this with me.
But because I have a feeling from that look on your face that nothing I say will convince you not to put your hand in this. Potentially, if you can remove the book from Exley, you at least remove a method of him getting his best friend back. Be able to do it if determined enough. We all have enough experience with plane jumping to gaps, I think, with enough time, and he has certainly had nothing but time. However, you can take solace. Accessing the divine realm has even been beyond myself, as much as I have tried.
Again, I suppose that we have not exactly seen eye to eye on some topics.
No, you are quite tall.
Stumps Neris.
I think I know your opinions on evocation are not high, darling. However, I will forgive you that.
I do have one final question for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you would be so kind. Or,
this.
Have you found any cure?
Our darkness is strong. Neris did this. Could hold it with ease, not me. Believe there is a cure. I'm fine with that. I have lived over 100 years. Very happy. I'm very healthy. And if I lose function in this hand, then I lose function in this hand. It has not gotten me yet. Connie, and I'm not sure you were... No, you wouldn't have met Fabian. He's our youngest, but he would have been about 10 or so when I met you. But I'll tell them both you say hello, and Fall as well.
It's very kind of you. Thank you.
You tell Gwen I say hello as well.
And I have not spoken for many years, but if...
Oh.
I see her, I will let you know.
Sorry. It is a shame. I've never had a sibling, but it must be terrible to lose touch like that.
Thank you for your time, Professor.
Good rest, Neris. You will need it if you're interacting with some of my oldest friends. Contact me again if you need anything.
Neris will fade out of the dream.
All right. And I take it you rest for the remainder of the evening.
Does, but not before taking off the glove on his left hand and just staring at the slowly increasing darkness that is drifting up his fingers and making his way into his palm. And he sighs and slowly pulls himself into bed and goes to sleep.
You all have your rest. Fishman, roll me a wisdom saving throw upon the morning.
19.
Okay, so you recall about as much as you did
the previous morning upon this morning's wake.
See, this morning's interesting because he didn't partake in alcohol. No, actually, he did in the morning. So I can't say that, but he abstained in the afternoon. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. Yeah, cool. He's going to be out early and waiting for everyone. Possibly having some, I'm guessing, boiled egg that's as hard as a brick or something.
Not hard as a brick, just very rubbery.
It's already up early waiting because he's been waiting from crack of dawn. He is crunching on something that sounds like bones. That's it. But he's just sitting impatiently by the doorway. And if people will take a while to get up, he will literally go and start banging on their doors.
Probably comes down not long after Fishman as Janice is going upstairs. It's just like, Alton's in number 14, Neris is in number 15.
Ah, good. He immediately goes to number 15 and starts wailing on the door as loud as possible.
There is a voice that comes from here. I am awake.
Then why are you not up?
I am... And you hear, like, muffled movement, and Neris throws open the door, and you see just, like, books and scrolls laid out in, like, a semicircle on the ground.
What on earth have you been doing?
Reading.
You can do that anywhere.
I absolutely cannot.
Place that we're going today.
Yes, and I don't want my books to get damaged. We are going into a poop shoot, as it was referred to. I'm not opening up a scroll and reading that. I will get everything all up in the business.
He, like, shakes his head, like, minutely. Fair enough.
Under the impression it takes a while for everyone else to wake up, so I am getting in a bit of light reading.
All right. May I ask a quick question?
Yes.
Do you think this will be worth it? Waiting. I have been on pursuit quests before. The trail grows cold very quickly. What was your reason for delaying? You have a place to stay. Why did you stay here?
Stayed. As I have seen what Exley is capable of. It is not a hunt. We are going down there to find more information on what Exley's move is. We are not going down there to confront him.
We are not.
If we do that, we will lose. I have spoken. The reason for the delay is I wish to speak with one of Exley's old traveling companions, a professor I have spoken with before and had interactions with, gave me valuable insights into Exley's behaviors and motivations, and that has further solidified the knowledge that we are, in our current form, unable to beat him. Do not wish, as director of Friend.
Was like rising to his full height and then pauses as Neris pauses.
Do not wish to put you in any more danger than I already have. To find out as much as I can. Stop this from happening. To stop this future. But we cannot do that if we rush headlong in to get ourselves killed. It is the wrong decision, then I will wear that. But I make this decision so that we all may continue to make wrong decisions in the future. I just worry that we delve into too many unknowns. We will not have one.
All right, then. I appreciate your reasoning. Perhaps more elaboration next time. I have no leads for our previous problem, which is still our current problem, and we have few leads for this. I hope you can forgive my impatience. It has been a long 3 months. I do not wish to be unkind. I'll be downstairs when you are ready.
Before you go.
Return. Yes.
Questions that I had.
Yes.
It was me.
What do you mean?
Individual we refer to as Lation Tulseris appeared to me in a vision. It told me that the reason he has done everything that he has done to prevent what we are trying to prevent.
You trust him?
I do not. I do not trust him. But the information that he has given,
so we are chasing after an enemy of his.
It is important. What we need to know is if a rift is opened, a gateway is created between the divine plane and ours, complete destruction will follow. He plans to open that gateway. Jim tried to stop it. Well, at the current moment, we are continuing down the same path, similar path that Lation tread. Need you to understand that I do not intend to make the same mistakes that he did.
See. Then I will trust you on this. And what I said here the 2 nights ago. Not just me, also, I insist. If you need a shoulder to lean on, I am here. But if you act only as director, I will go wake Alton up. I thank you for sharing this information with me. It shall stay with me.
Whatever information you wish to share, you are welcome to do so, Captain.
Would not jeopardize your safety as a friend, Neras. I only hope that you do not do the same for me. I care very much for you, as I care very much for everyone here. I can only hope you feel the same. We will leave, then. And very cordially knock on Alton's door.
The door, swings open. And Alton's there with, a bag packed and everything.
Oh,
he's probably,
okay.
Fully covered, scarf over face. He's like, morning, ready to go sewer diving?
Yes, me too. I can't wait.
Yes, should be a grand old time.
Well, we'll meet downstairs. Most of us are all downstairs, I think. And he looks over at Neris's door. Neris is just getting things ready. He'll be down soon. Come join. We should get some quick breakfast or breakfast to go. Perhaps not to go all the way to the sewers, though, but part of the way there.
Yes, preferably. All right. Brave these kitchens again.
Janice strides down.
Right. So, you group, get breakfast, and you start making your way towards, I take it, the sewer grates that you've determined are best for your purpose. Now, I imagine Alton is going to be a little bit concerned about the guards.
Yes, true.
All right.
Are they around? It'd probably be stealthing. Yeah,
roll me a perception check.
Yes. See if my dice would do mildly better. Okay. After rolling all fives for everything important, that's a nat 20, so that's a 27.
Okay. There's guard presence in the city, but there's not the same presence around the sewer entrances that there was yesterday.
Right, it's looking like more standard patrols. We should be able to get to the entrance safely. Scene. So just kind of keeping an eagle eye out. We'll just look all natural as they head into the sewers.
Before we go in, there is something I'd like to try as well. And are we at the grate now?
I would say so, yes.
Alton looks around to see if there's a bird there.
No, not this time. How much greenery is around?
I mean, are we talking
foliage or are we talking slime?
No, we're talking foliage.
We're talking foliage.
Yeah, not slime.
Not a lot. There's a couple of, like, potted plants on, like, some windowsills.
Any blades of grass coming up through stones?
No. There's
moss growing on the walls.
There's a little bit of moss on some of the cobblestones. But that's about it.
All right. Fishman's going to get close to the moss and cast a spell on it. Speak with plants specifically. Okay. So essentially this moss is now sentient and can speak. Fishman is going to ask it, "Do you recall what has happened here this past day? Can you tell me what you have seen? Anything of note, individuals, details?"
"Well, I was trampled on by some rather brutish fellows. One of them was incredibly heavy.
All right, this one sounds like one that I'm interested in. Tell me more. Did they leave, or were they coming back to this place?"
"Seemed to be going towards the grate."
"Has anyone else entered the grate since?"
"No, not to my knowledge."
"And have there been any guards?"
"No."
"Interesting. Could you describe this heavy one more? What were they wearing? Were they carrying anything?"
"I do not know. I have no eyes. I am not capable of sight."
"That's true. Right, well, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Do you sense it to be raining anytime soon?"
"Is there a time frame listed in the spell with that?"
It's just you can ask it questions. For example, what has happened in the area within the past day, gaining any information about creatures that have passed, weather and other circumstances. But I do know, like, say, for example, plants will understand, like, times in which it typically rains. They might open up a flower or kind of stiffen up their leaves, getting ready to, I don't know, take in the water.
"There might be something coming in a day or two."
"Right, that is all. Thank you very much. If... no, that'll be all." As you can see, Fishman was contemplating asking something, but thought better of it. He'll turn to the rest of the party. "It seems no one else has come here since the heavy one. The one that stepped on this moss."
"Wow, you made some incredible noises with your mouth just then. That's incredible."
"Are you talking to me or the moss?"
"You. Was the moss making noise to you?" "Doesn't matter. That's good information. That sounds pretty, like a pretty good lead, really."
"The moss can still speak, as far as I'm aware. It can speak for up to 10 minutes.
"Can we all hear the moss?"
"And it's not just that moss, it's all plants within 30 feet of me, giving the ability to communicate with you."
I really want this to be that the rest of us cannot hear any of the plants. It's just Fishman, but he thinks we can all hear it. So we're all just standing there like, sure. Yeah, no, absolutely, that grass source sounds interesting. Do we need to get him checked?"
We'd have to get all of us checked then if that were the case. "No, I think this is very promising. Does this sound good?" And he inclines his head towards Nera's.
"I think this will definitely gives us a good indication that we are going the right way."
"And on top of that, the weather may take a turn for the worst in a couple of days. Probably best not to be in a drain grate when a downpour is occurring, especially one of this particular sanitary condition."
"Yes, also good to know."
"Yes, we'd prefer not to filter that through my gills."
"But What do you say? Do we go in?
I say we go in. Everyone, if there's any final preparations that needs to be done, do so now.
I think about it the more, I absolutely don't want to do it, so let's go.
We are proceeding with caution, of course. This is an observation test. We shall go.
So, you make your way down into the sewers. And can I get a survival check from whoever is leading this expedition to navigate?
Ishban could be, but would Alton maybe?
No, he definitely wouldn't be. He'd be sticking back a little bit. Being a little hesitant to go there. Take the lead.
I guess Fishman could be talking back and forth with Neris then, saying, now was it this left or the next?
I mean, to be honest, my information was getting to the great. That is the extent of my knowledge. If we go down past this way, that is all I know.
As that's a 14.
Okay. So, you follow the pathways through, and eventually, with your perception, you notice gittering sounds of smallish humanoid figures rushing around, probably about 200-300 meters ahead of you.
And he whispers this. It appears we may have company.
And Neris casts mage armor on himself.
Right. Alton gets his pistols out.
Peepus communicated.
I guess, yeah. Armor of Agathys. Fishman gets all frosty. And then, if he can he please throw a lit torch ahead?
Okay.
Once I get within, I guess, throwing distance.
Yeah. You travel further and further in, slowly and carefully, as you get within throwing distance. I take it light and throw the torch?
Correct. He throws a lit torch.
So you light and throw the torch. And as the torch clatters to the ground, you hear a number of figures closer now, as you have been in that direction, and one speaks up. Who goes there?
Who goes there as well? And do we get to see what they look like?
I asked first. Do not see at this point. You see a shadowy figure, kind of squat, probably about the height of a dwarf, but still kind of encased mostly in shadow, the light kind of providing a vague silhouette from where it is, at least at this distance.
I am an adventurer having an awfully shit time. And you?
Priest of the great Galactanar, the frog god.
The frog god. And he turns to Neris. I've heard of this frog god before.
Well, no, he is great and powerful.
Is this their domain?
This is the domain of Galactanar.
Oh, Galactanar.
Fishman turns around with, like, big surprise on his face.
This rogue.
Fishman grabs the arm of Janice and pushes him to the front.
We seek passage. We wish to hear more. Do you have a temple?
Galactanar demands a sacrifice for passage.
Sacrifice does your god seek?
What do you have?
Gifts from the depths, gold, jewels, treasures, a story.
Of no interest to Galactanar.
Galactanar liar.
Food.
Oh, food. Well, we have plenty of food as a sacrifice. Do we not, band of adventurers?
We do. We absolutely do.
Indeed, I've worked some time as a cook, actually. I could make him a nice meal.
As this is all being said, Loren, could you, you feel a wet, leathery, tendrilous tentacle start to wrap around your leg.
If you was doing that, it isn't fucking funny right now. And she kind of looks down and sees it's a real tentacle, not a magical one.
Yeah, and your eyes follow the path of the tentacle as it heads, as it terminates at the surface of the sewer water. And rising from it, you see this immense, large monstrosity that has a vague resemblance to a frog-like creature, but it is the size of an elephant with four tentacles, you see, as it rises out of the sewer water, and a big gaping maw with a long tendrilous tongue, and atop its head three bulbous eyes, each facing in different directions. And that is where we're going to leave it for this episode.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
I hope you enjoyed this session.
Thank you. Thank you for listening, everyone. We'll see how our heroes get out of this next week. Goodbye.
See you next week. Bye.
Sorry for listening.
Are you still here? Ah, shit. Ah, balls. No, he's gone. Oh, hi, Darby. Quick, real quick question. Is anyone else here? No one else is here. Darby,
I'm here.
He's gone.
I'm here, but I'm not here.
Okay, never mind. Don't worry about it.
He's rapidly coming
everyone
back.
Everyone go. Don't worry about it. We're all good. Don't worry about it.
What?
I'm having DM conversations.
I just saw that Mitch was talking, and I was like, just going to put that headphone back in.
Trying to get Darby's attention real quick on a DM question, which is something.
Secret.